This is Standing Watch. And now, Evangelist Norbert Link.
Well, greetings everyone and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. I'd like to read to you from an interesting article by the Huffington Post, dated December 30, saying that a surprising number of Americans still do not believe in evolution. And then the article goes on to say that 1 in 3 Americans doesn't believe in evolution, according to a new survey. 33% of Americans think, and I quote, humans and other living things have existed in their present form since the beginning of time. Among Americans who said they believe in evolution, a quarter said a supreme being guided the evolution of living things for the purpose of creating humans and other life in the form it exists today. While 6 in 10 Americans, the article goes on to say, said they believe that humans and other living things have evolved over time, and about half of them said processes such as natural selection and not God led to evolution, religion continues to play a significant role in how it is viewed. While evangelical Protestants were most likely not to believe in evolution, others were. Only 15% of mainline Protestants, though, agreed. And then it says that about 46% of respondents said evolution happened over time with the guidance of God. Now, the good news is, my friends, that at least 1/3 of Americans don't believe in evolution at all. The bad news is that the rest does believe in it, and then it's divided on whether it was done by chance or whether God had anything to do with it. Well, when you believe the Bible, however, it is very clear that no evolution ever took place. We have prepared a free booklet, The Theory of Evolution, a fairy tale for adults, something a French scientist said about. And in this booklet, we point out that evolution didn't take place, couldn't have taken place. When we believe the Bible, we know it couldn't have taken place because in Genesis chapter 1, I'd like to read to you from the scriptures now. In Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 20, we read how God created the animal world. God said, "Let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens." Verse 21, "And so God created great three creatures, and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded, according to their kind. And every winged bird according to its kind." And if you read the entire story of creation, you find that God created the animals according to their kind, according to their species. Nowhere does the Bible say that one species, one kind, however the word is to be understood, can evolve into another species and another kind. And the interesting thing is, as I will show you in a moment, evolution has not given you any proof whatsoever that such a mutation did take place in the past. And of course, then God created man. And he says, "Let us make man in our image and in accordance with our likeness." And that sets man apart from the animal world. Man did not evolve from animals. Man belongs, if you please, to a different species, to a different kind, the God kind. What most people don't know today is that God is a family, and that God is enlarging his family, and that it is the potential of man to enter the family of God. When you read about the kingdom of God, that's all it's talking about. God is a kingdom, a ruling family. And you and I have the potential to enter that family. And those who have received God's Holy Spirit will be entering the family and the kingdom of God at the time of Christ's return. Now, going back to the animal world, however, we found that God created animals in accordance with their kind. And they were to reproduce in accordance with their kind. And so that is exactly what we have found. Now, there are certain hybrids, if you please. And I like to quote a few hybrids to you. For instance, a mule, of course, is a hybrid. But there are other hybrids. Have you heard of the liger? It's a mixture between a lion and a tiger. Then there are mixtures between zebras and horses. They are mixtures between zebras and donkeys. They are mixtures between buffaloes and cows. They are mixtures between dolphins and whales, or camels and llamas, and sheep and goats. Some of these mixtures could not have even taken place in nature. For instance, a lion and a tiger could not have produced a liger in nature because they would avoid each other. Now, they were bred in a zoo. But have you carefully noticed what we have been describing here? These are all animals of the same kind of kind. You see, lions and tigers all belong to the cat family. And then you have buffaloes and cows, all belong to the same kind of family, same kind of species. They didn't create a mixture between a lion, let's say, and a bird. Because this is a kind of impossibility. But it's the kind of necessity if you want to believe evolution. Because that's what you have to believe. That over the thousands, tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands and millennia of years, one kind developed into another kind. And that is what exactly didn't happen. And there is no proof it ever did. Let me read to you from our free booklet on the theory of evolution. We say in here that, first of all, Time magazine reported in 1981 that former U.S. President Ronald Reagan remarked that evolution was only a scientific theory, which is no longer considered infallible, as was once thought to be the case. In 1980, the late well-known scientist at the Max Planck Institute, Professor Joachim Illis, wrote an article in a German magazine, the PM. In it, he made some astonishing admissions regarding the alleged evolution of man, saying, "No serious scientist dates or dares to state today that we know anything certain about the evolution of man." So when you hear those scientists today talking about the evolution of man, according to Professor Illis, they are not serious, because no serious scientist would dare to say that. Later on, we talk about another author, Martin Schechel. He wrote, "The picture of evolution consists of many little pieces and many big holes." And let me just say, these scientists we are quoting here are not religious men. They are just looking at the evidence as scientists have and as science presents it. He goes on to say, "A scientist found a good analogy when discussing the attempt to explain evolution based on fossils. They would be like trying to reconstruct Tolstoy's six volumes of War and Peace out of only six unrelated single pages. This reconstruction doesn't sound very convincing in light of the many, many holes. In addition, fossils had to be classified in such a way as to fit into the picture. When new fossils were found, the old picture became very often shaky." So in other words, they had their theory, and now they had to try to use those fossils they found to put into the theory. It is a dishonest way of explaining things. The article we are quoting here went on to say that never within the last 125 years has there been found a missing link between reptile and bird, between crocodile and eagle, between turtle and dove. Whatever one unearthed, they were either distinctively the bones of a reptile or the bones of a bird. In other words, there is no proof that nature bridged the gap between reptile and bird in many small steps, as Darwin's teachings demand. To the contrary, all fossils show that there were in existence reptiles with scaly skin, and then, suddenly, there was the Archaeopteryx with fully developed feathers. And what was in between? In between, there was nothing. You see, some have said, "Oh, the Archaeopteryx, that's the missing link between birds and reptiles." No, as this article here went on to explain. "The evolution of approximately 26 groups of mammals is totally unclear. So are the origins of insects. The ancestors of the fish are likewise unknown. The first fish eggs which were found were already totally developed, and the original insects captured in amber do not look much different than today's specimen." In 2000, Der Spiegel, a German magazine, has this to say, and Der Spiegel most certainly is not a religious magazine. It quoted from an article in Science, stating, "The oldest animal with feathers was not a dinosaur. The article points out that animals with feathers existed prior to dinosaurs, and it concluded, this fossil rules out the widely held view that birds evolved from dinosaurs. Now, why is it that you have never really heard that? Why is it that in schools our children are being taught a concept of evolution which is absolutely and totally not only unscientific, it's also totally against God's word, the Bible? You know, we have prepared another booklet, The Authority of the Bible. Can we believe in the authority of the Bible? Can we believe in what the Bible says to be true? If we do believe what the Bible says, we cannot believe in evolution. Evolution is anyhow an attempt by atheists to explain a creation without a creator. You see, evolution is a demonic teaching. It is coming from Satan the devil. We must not believe it. We must believe the Bible as God's word, because God's word is true, and God is true, while every man is a liar. So let's put our trust and our confidence in God, and let's understand evolution is not even proven scientifically. In fact, science disproves it. Why would we want to believe it? Why wouldn't we want to compromise saying, oh, we believe in evolution, but we kind of feel that God had a hand in it? No, he didn't have a hand in it. It didn't exist. It didn't happen. The Bible tells you how man was created, how animals were created. Believe God and not scientists to tell you lies. Thank you very much for listening. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.
Standing Watch is a presentation by The Church of the Eternal God, P.O. Box 270519, San Diego, California, 92198. More information is also available at our website, eternalgod.org.